Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, can you get the sense that that's New Orleans jazz and that the NOLA vibe may be in store for some of us? Welcome everyone. This is the inaugural broadcast of the Health Innovation Broadcasting Consortium's weekly series on health innovation titled Health Innovation, This Week in Health Innovation. And I'm your host, Greg Masters, and we are launching our series today. And actually daily, with the exception of Saturday and Sunday, and then daily on-site at HIMSS for the duration of the HIMSS event from March 3rd through the 8th. And we will be featuring our programming and newsworthy items that we update on a daily basis from the live at HIMSS event. So with no further ado, I want to tell you about our broadcast today. I want to thank Chad Johnson, who is the curator of the popular HITSM Tweet Chat, HITSM, which is a very popular tweet chat that occurs on Twitter Fridays at 9 a.m. Pacific, and that would be 12 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's HITSM. Chad curates that. Chad's also the marketing and communications manager at CorePoint Health, in addition to being the managing editor at HL7 Standards. So, Chad, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
And riding a shotgun with me today is my partner and co-conspirator in this independent media effort known as Health Innovation Broadcasting Consortium, Pat Salver. Pat is the founder and publisher, principal editor of The Doc Weighs In, a very popular blog on the web, and is the CEO and co-founder of Health Tech Hatch, a health innovation crowdfunding platform. Welcome to the broadcast, Pat.
Thanks, Greg.
So now that we've assembled the parties in interest to the chat today, let's talk a little bit about HIMSS. We're titling this broadcast HIMSS Countdown 2013, and as I said, Chad's joining us to kick it off today. Chad, for those of us listening in who may not know you or be familiar with what you do, tell us a little bit about Chad Johnson.
Well, sure. Well, I work at CorePoint Health, and we're in the Dallas Metroplex, and we are in the healthcare integration space. And we work with healthcare providers in making their healthcare data more interoperable, both internally and externally, at the crux of a lot of the healthcare reform that's going on. So it's a really exciting company to be part of, and we're doing a lot of great stuff. I also manage the HL7standards.com blog, which talks about all things healthcare IT. We also talk about mobile health technology, health information exchange, healthcare standards, and now that patient engagement is part of meaningful use, we talk a lot about patient engagement. So we talk all things really now healthcare because health IT impacts everything in healthcare, so it's a pretty cool space to be in.
So just housekeeping-wise, Pat, chime in at any time. So talk a little bit about the so you're based in Dallas, and where do you spend most of your time?
Well, our offices are located in the northern suburb of Frisco, Texas, which is kind of right next to Plano. You should probably be familiar with that, Greg. Weren't you in Dallas at one point, Chris?
Yes, indeed. Legacy and Preston, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's exactly where we're at. So you probably know all the restaurants around here.
Absolutely. You bet. So let's move to the whole HIMSS situation. HIMSS is kind of a major event for the in the health informatics space. Lots of vendor interest, a lot of participant interest, provider, payer, supplier, programmer, you name it. The annual event is being held in New Orleans beginning March 3rd. Tell us what's in your line of sight for HIMSS this year. What are you thinking about?
Well, are you still talking to me? Is this to me?
Yeah. No, you.
Okay, cool. Well, what I'm really looking forward to is Tuesday we're hosting the HITSM chat from the Social Media Center. This was a live Twitter chat, which is kind of an awkward deal because usually we talk online only, and the only thing we look at is our monitor and the people's avatars and what they say. So it's gonna be really cool. We're really looking forward to getting face to face people we talk to weekly and meeting people that don't show up online but may show up because of the proximity of him, and they just want to check it out. So it's gonna be a great opportunity. We have a lot of interesting and really thoughtful people that are confirmed to be there. Keith Boone, who AKA Motorcycle Guy Online, he'll be there. He's an expert in the healthcare standards area. And Greg, you'll, from what I know, you're going to be there. We're really excited about you participating. Leonard Kish, one of the authors for the HO7 standards blog, will be there. And I think John Lynn and Michelle McNichol, two other journalists covering health IT will be there, so it should be a lot of fun. Hopefully we won't have a lot of people staring down at their tablets or their laptops in front of each other. We do plan to have a microphone walking around trying to get everybody involved and hopefully have a lot of laughs.
So, Chad, this is Pat. I have to tell you that last year when I attended HIMSS, it was the first time that I had an opportunity to meet people in person that I had been engaging in Twitter conversations with for the prior year. So it's really fun to be able to put a live face to what previously was only an avatar or a name.
Yeah, that's really what I'm looking forward to. Last year, I didn't get to go to HIMSS, and that was the first year we held the live chat. And so most of these people that I've been talking to, who I consider colleagues to a large degree, for the last 2 years, I've never met in person. There might be a handful that I've met in person. But so this is going to be kind of like a Twitter reunion of sorts. And we'll get to, match the name to the real person. And it's just going to be great. It's going to be a way to kind of like break down that, the barrier of space.
Yeah, let me weigh in on that as well. Ditto with Pat's sentiment as well as yours, Chad. As someone who's spent a fair amount of time online creating a presence and engaging with people via Twitter, perhaps offline in other respects, Skype and otherwise, after you have made that kind of contact, whether it's in the context of a tweet chat or whether it's just, I follow health reform, you follow health reform, therefore we follow each other's comments and links and content on health reform, there's a bond that gets created. And then all of a sudden when you meet for real, whether it's at a tweet up, at an event, or just at a conference program, it's like you have a pre-existing relationship. And it's not superficial. There's depth to it. So I have found, after I've had connections, friends, followers, otherwise on Twitter, wind up meeting them at a conference or an event, there's a genuine collegal relationship there.
Let me ask you, Greg.
Chad, I think it would be really interesting to tell listeners who may not have participated in a tweet chat or a tweet conversation exactly how it works, because we're all used to having conversations like we're having here on the radio where it's really sequential. You ask a question, I answer the question, someone asks another question, and you answer that. But the conversation that you have in a tweet chat, because there's some delay between when the first question gets asked and there's a response is more, I'm going to use the word disjointed, that it isn't sequential, it's more mixed up. Greg and Chad, any comments about that?
Well, sure. Tweet chats are not for the faint of heart, I would probably say. At least for the HITSM tweet chats, and that's not to discourage anyone, but once you get onto a tweet chat, it can be kind of like what they call drinking from a fire hose. We get, like today, for instance, we have 69 participants in our tweet chat, and from those 69 participants, there were 403 tweets in the course of an hour. So that's quite a lot of activity, but my advice to people who are new to tweet chats is to focus on a comment or a topic or a person who has interest you or has said something that's interesting to you. Reply to that person and wait for them to respond to you. And in the meantime, you might be able to pick up another person and reply to them or comment they've made. Or just simply just chime in with your thought on the topic. What we usually do is we have 4 to 5 different topics throughout the course of the tweet chat. And they're generated approximately 10-minute increments. And we encourage conversation around each of those topics during each of those segments. That's not to say that conversations don't carry over throughout the course of even the hour or in the day if something is really interesting or some people are really animated about a certain topic. But I would just suggest that people who might be a little intimidated about the sheer scope of that or the uncontrollable nature of a conversation, just to focus on a few of the conversations going on, maybe add your 2 cents to the topic, and sit back and watch a little bit, because every week, believe it or not, I come away with a lot of new information. Healthcare IT is such a broad and evolving field that it seems to me that it's almost impossible to get your mind around everything that's going on in the industry. And there are a lot of really smart people that show up to our chats, a lot smarter than I am. And I always get a lot of motivation, a lot of inspiration, and a lot of new knowledge for each chat.
Thanks,
Chad. Can you run those numbers by us again, Chad? What were those numbers for the chat today?
According to the Simpler site, which always provides a transcript of each week's chat and also some analytics, there were 69 participants, 403 tweets, and out of those tweets, they had an impression range of 889,000. Now, Greg, I'm going to have to ask you what the impression means, because I know you know a little more about the impressions of tweet chat than I do. I have a general idea, but I don't have a real strong grasp of what that means.
Oh, okay. I'll do my best. So the impression idea is kind of like the holy grail of visibility in the real time as well as the searchable web. So the idea of an impression, it's a multiple of if I tweet something and I have X number of followers, then that, at any given time, that creates the same number of impressions, say 7,000 followers, 7,000 impressions. But it's potential impressions in the sense that not all those 7,000 are paying attention at the time. So the idea is it creates this cloud, some of which is seen in real time, and most of which is actually seen downstream in the cloud through search engine queries that are keyword specific to which that tweet is attached. So when you put all the people in the conversation and you multiply it by the number of followers that they represent, you have this viral cloud of visibility, and that is basically what the impression universe is made of.
Okay, wow, that's much better than I could have, better explanation than I could have ever given. I don't know if you noticed today, we had participation by a Twitter account called Farzad's Bowtie. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did.
I love it. Now, I don't know if listeners know who Farzad Mostashari is, but he is the head of the ONC, who heads up all of the health IT activities, meaningful use, and standards, and HIE, ACO exchange, everything that's going on. He's in charge. Now, I don't know if it's like a ghost account for Farzad or that's someone in his staff, but from the nature of the tweets, I have a feeling that's someone who's associated with him. So it was kind of cool to have him step in.
I saw that today, and I'm not sure which tweet I retweeted, but I was taken by AV Avatar, which is a bow tie. And the name Farzad, at least in this context, is pretty well, more often than not, associated with health information technology. So I was drawn to it, and I can't retrieve it right now. But it was a rather clever post, which I resonated with and actually retweeted. Yeah, there's another account that looks like it's. It's an anonymous account. It's not tied to Hims, but it's the @Hims13 Twitter handle, and that seems to be out there in a responsible way, participating as an independent voice in the conversation as well.
You know what's funny about that? I saw that account 2 weeks ago, and the first thing that that person tweeted was. If you want to get marketing free information during Hims, follow this account. And I was like,
right.
Wow, Hims is full of a lot of marketing talk. I want to know who this is. This is kind of interesting. So I don't know if you saw it, but I think it was either earlier this week or last week. I started a branch conversation with the account, and I asked whoever runs the account. I didn't ask his or her name just because I think it's fun. If they want to be anonymous, go right ahead. But I ask questions, what's the purpose of your account? Or what are you doing? What do you hope to achieve? And are you going to be at Hims? And are you going to ever tell us who you really are? So if you want to learn more about that, you can go to ho7standards.com and look for the headline, who's behind the Hims13 Twitter account.
Mystery semi-solved.
Yeah, semi.
You have a thought about that, Pat? Anonymity on the web, good thing, bad thing?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I use Twitter, although I have Twitter handles, I make it really clear who I am. But with my Health Tech Hatch account, I do have a social media team who does sometimes tweet under the Health Tech Hatch Twitter handle. I'd be interested to hear from you all if this is good, bad, or otherwise. I just got through reviewing a paper on social media for physicians that ZocDoc has produced. It's up on their site. And when you look at everything that's going on in social media, there really aren't enough hours in the day for any one person to have the kind of presence that they'd like to have across all the platforms. So you are seeing this whole industry spring up of social media managers, of marketing strategy managers, of people who help to speak with hopefully with your voice. It's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to it. I'd love to hear from both you, Greg, and Chad, what you think.
Well, Greg, I don't know about you, but I really prefer the social part of social media. I think that if possible, I think that you should be yourself on social media. I mean, I know the Hims13 account is all in fun, and that's fine. But I assume that person has a personal account as well. But you got to put your name behind it. Otherwise, there's not a lot of credibility in what you're doing, in my opinion. And it'll make you a stronger person. You're going to conquer some of those fears and join some of the conversations, and you're going to learn a little bit that way. That's the Socratic method. It's kind of like the modern day now. You just take it to online and you let it hang out there, and you get to know people. You interact with people that you might not normally talk with. But if it's not in you to do social media, and if you're a physician and it's not something that you really feel comfortable doing, then, that's fine, too. You don't have to participate. I think not participating might be a little better than hiring someone to do it in your stead.
I hear that. I agree with you. I think there's a time and a season for both, and it really is highly situational. Some people just are not in a position where honest reflection on what they do would are in a position where honest reflection on what they do could put them personally at risk. So the one way they have is to be behind an anonymous curtain. And as long as they're not out there libeling and slandering and just generating all sorts of factless opinions, I don't see anything. And I'm looking at your who's behind the @hims13 Twitter account dialogue on hl7standards.com, and you know that person is making the argument that that right now he or she is better suited behind a firewall. I like the idea of knowing who I'm talking to, and I think I agree with you. Being social on social media is what it's all about, and I've been trying to do this for the last 4.5-5 years, whether it be on Twitter, blogging, or even doing these radio broadcasts. I've now probably hosted or produced probably 500 Blog Talk Radio segments, and when I did my first one, I was really scared. And I was producing it. I was I was the content, judge, jury, executioner, so to speak. And it was a real learning curve. I think we may be being joined by. Is this you, Nate?
This person right here.
Oh, it's Alex.
How you doing, Greg?
Alex, very well. Welcome, Alex. We're chatting with Chad Johnson from CorePoint Health, also from HL7 Standards and curator of the Hits and Tweet Chat.
Great.
Hey, Alex, this is Pat. So, I'm on too.
Hey,
we're
Pat.
We're having an interesting conversation about Twitter and whether it should be used as a purely social media conversation or as it is, in fact, being used a lot as a way of pushing out information and or marketing. I agree that the social and the social media is really wonderful, but the reality is that that Twitter's being used for other things, and some of which I find valuable. So I follow people who are mainly pushing out links to articles and information that I might have missed, and it isn't necessarily being done in a social way as much as it's being done in either an automated feed from their website or just somebody who likes to spend time reading things and pushing it out. It isn't really conversational, but I nevertheless find it valuable.
Yeah, it's certainly a valuable medium in a lot of ways, but like email or anything else, it can be filled with irrelevant stuff, let's just say. But, you whitelist the people that always produce the content that you're interested in. In the case of, crowdfunding sites like ours, I don't know about you, but, we always keep track of, all of the social media activities of our med starters, people running campaigns. And so we use it for business in a lot of ways, but also socially. I was listening to you guys before, like probably millions of other people. And one of the things you guys are talking about is, who are you out there on social media, right? So for a long time, I didn't have my own name as my Twitter handle. It was just FairCareMD, and which is another company that I started. And, when I started MedStarter, I needed a MedStarter account. And I didn't really know what to do here. I didn't know if I should switch the FairCareMD one or just be myself or get like what Pat did, bring in, a smart guy like Josh, who's her social media guy. Or I don't know if you have more than one. But anyway, so Josh is great. So I decided to make the MedStarter one the MedStarter account. And then let other people other than me, but in the actual about area, I said mostly by Alex Fair, and I put in my Alex Fair, which I switched my FairCareMD account to Alex Fair, because it's been my account. It's got my face on it, has for, you know, since the beginning. And so I just tried to make it clear there. But for a long time, I suffered from multiple Twitter personality disorder, which I wasn't really sure, you know, who I was out there. So I had MTPD.
Okay.
So, but actually, Greg is one of the people who helped me figure out what I was supposed to do there. So thank you, Greg.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alex. So let's, Chad, back to you. I want to ask you, you're involved at CorePoint, a solutions company in the integration space. You're an active participant in social media, as is John Mertz. You've got the HL7 Standards blog, and you're curating this tweet chat. So how are you guys, how do you see social media, and how are you integrating it into your business?
Well, it's in two ways, really. I guess we use it to gain knowledge, stay on top of industry trends. Pat, I have I wouldn't say confession, but we also have a company Twitter handle, and we also have a Twitter handle for the HL7 Standards blog that does send out links to various information that we hope is valuable and not marketing related to content on our website that we hope will help other people as well. And then we have our own personal accounts, which we use to interact with other people. So it's two things. We gather information on Twitter, try to stay on top of industry trends, because you get your information, you get the breaking news stories, you get the provider trends that are going on a lot quicker through social media channels than you do if you have to wait for a publication to hit your desk. In fact, a lot of times I don't subscribe to many publications at all anymore, so I get most of my information online. So it keeps us ahead of the curve, and we like to contribute to the conversation in a way that's substantial and not in a way that's hey, look at me, in a way that's buy my product. We feel that we have a lot of expertise in the area of integration, HL7 standards, and interoperability, and we want to share that with other people, because doing so improves healthcare all around.
So you feel it's a wise investment of your and company time.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool. Pat, any, or Alex, any questions for Chad?
Well, if either one of you two will be at HIMSS, I hope that you try to make some time to stop by the HITSM chat on Tuesday, because that'd be great to meet both you, Pat and Alex.
And that's
that would
what
be great,
time?
Chad. Can you give the time again?
Yeah, it's at 11 a.m. Central, which is New Orleans time, and it will be in the Social Media Center, and that the day is on Tuesday of the conference.
Fantastic. I'll be there.
Excellent.
Great.
As will I. So, you know, is Twitter still, I mean, there's a question probably for all of us. So it's relevant to us, but I had one of our people tell me the other day that to the younger generation, Twitter is completely irrelevant, that they've moved on to other stuff. Is this just, you know, the teenagers talking, or is it the 20-year-olds too?
That's a good question. I'm not 20, so I can't say that for sure either. It might just be us talking to each other over and over and over again. That's a good point. I know a lot of people are using Instagram more. People are on Reddit more. I've tried to reach to venture into that area a little bit, to no success whatsoever. You know, I've noticed Google Plus has got a lot of health IT conversations going. It's just everywhere. I think maybe they're just becoming so widespread, so many more sites everywhere. It's just kind of becoming spread thin across the different mediums.
But then Twitter shutting down their API, you know, somewhat arbitrarily, definitely is not as friendly, you know, is not the sort of the open approach that a lot of people would embrace.
Well, that's going to have to be the last word. Excellent question. Sorry we didn't get more of the answer there, but worth entertaining in future conversations. That's going to call it quits for the first episode of This Week in Health Innovation. I want to thank our guests, Chad Johnson, Pat Salver, and Alex Fair. And for those of you, follow us on Twitter at HIBCTV, and we'll be broadcasting from HIMSS March 3rd through the 8th. Thanks again, everybody. This is Greg Manser saying bye now.
And the juice came running out. That's when you and I and everybody found out what love was all about. Come see about me. Come see about me. Come see about me. I ate up the apple tree. One day, under the old apple tree, the apples looked so good to me, I ate up the whole darn tree. Come see about me. Come see about me. Come see about me. I ate up the apple tree. Now Adam took a bite out of the apple one day, and the juice came running out. That's when you and I and everybody found out what love was all about. Come see about me.